Greetings in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A man may go to heaven without health, without wealth, without fame, without a great name, without learning, without big earning, without culture, without beauty, without friends, without 10,000 other things. But he can never go to heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So spoke the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Eternal God and Father, we come to you now through him, because of him, by him. Thankful that through his precious blood we have access into your holy presence. And now, God, we pray that the Holy Spirit will take the words used on this broadcast and speak to hearts, young and old, saint and sinner, meet all needs, bless each listening, as in his worthy name we give you our thanks. Amen. Last week we began a study of chapter 2 in the correspondence course entitled Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. As we pick up there today, all of you listeners who ordered the course, I'd like for you to get it and get your Bible, get to a place where you can study and write, and study with us again today this Emmaus Bible School correspondence course by Dr. Scofield. Turn to chapter 2, lesson 2. Incidentally, if we have new listeners today and you'd like to get one of these books and study with us, the announcer will give you the details at the close of this broadcast. Now, just a very quick word of review. In chapter 1, we saw the distinctions, the many contrasts that exist between the Jew or the nation of Israel and the church. That chapter is entitled The Jew, the Gentile, and the Church. And we saw that there are few comparisons, but rather many contrasts, many differences between God's chosen earthly people and his chosen heavenly people. Differences that exist between the Jew and those that make up the church. Then last week, as I mentioned, we entered lesson 2. And we began to study this chapter entitled The Seven Dispensations. Now, a dispensation, and it is mentioned in Ephesians 3 and verse 2, a dispensation is an unequal period of time marked off in Scripture by some change in God's method of dealing with mankind. Now, it is very true that our God is eternal. Our God is unchangeable in his character, in his quality, in his attributes. But he has, over the years, used different methods in dealing with man and man's needs, as it relates especially to man's sin and man's responsibility because of his sin and his responsibility to Almighty God. As to these different approaches dispensational periods, five of them have already been fulfilled. We are in the midst of the sixth, and those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ are eagerly, anxiously looking forward to that seventh period, that seventh dispensational era of time. Incidentally, all of these seven periods that we will consider in this chapter have one thing in common. Every one of them ends in judgment. For example, when we looked last week at man innocent, the period of time, the dispensation that extends from the creation of Adam to his expulsion from the garden, we saw that that period of time, man innocent, ended in judgment as God drove out man from that garden paradise. And then we considered last week, and we did note the scriptures, man under conscience. By the fall, Adam and Eve acquired and transmitted to the human race the knowledge of good and evil. And this gave conscience a basis for right moral judgment. And the race therefore came under this measure of responsibility to do good and to hate evil. But this dispensation also ended in judgment. For after God warned through the preaching of Noah, he allowed those who rejected his message to be destroyed by the judgment of the flood. That brings us to the third dispensation that we want to consider today. And out of the fearful judgment of the flood, as you know, God saved eight people. And after the waters had gone, he gave the purified earth to these people to rule over it. He gave them the power, the authority. And this Noah and his descendants were responsible for ruling and reigning over the world at that time. And so we come upon the dispensation of human government. And man was responsible under God and given this privilege. And yet, this dispensation, this era, ended in judgment, a different type of judgment. But we can read about it in Genesis chapter 9, in Genesis chapter 11, where God brought about judgment upon man by the confusion of tongues at the Tower of Babel. What does this suggest to us? Well, man in his own energy, by his own strength, initiative, and ability, sought to build a tower that would reach to heaven. God would have no part of it. He brought it to naught as men were confused with the initiation of languages. People today are still trying to do the same thing. People are trying to get to heaven by their own energy, their own efforts, their own initiative. They call it church membership. They call it religion. They call it morality. They call it doing the best they can, the golden rule, and all of these other things. Friend of mine, these things might suffice in this life, but like the Tower of Babel, they can never get you to heaven. And again, like that same tower, it will end in judgment. Not the confusion of tongues, but the judgment of God upon those who reject Christ. Let's look at another era. It's called man under promise. And out of the dispersed descendants of the builders of Babel, God now calls one man. He's not going to deal with the masses anymore. He's singling out an individual. His name is Abram. And he enters into a covenant with him. And some of the promises to Abram and his descendants were purely gracious and unconditional. And many of these have either been or will be literally fulfilled. In fact, all of them will. Many have been. The rest will be. Other promises were conditional upon the faithfulness and obedience of the Israelites. Some things God said, I'm going to do for you. Other things he said, I'll do if you will do. These were some of the conditional promises. And every one of these conditions was violated. And thus, the dispensation of promise resulted in the failure of Israel's family. And this particular dispensation closed in the judgment of bondage in Egypt. The book of Genesis, which opens with the sublime words, "In the beginning, God created," closes with a coffin in Egypt. Oh, the depravity of man. Man, from the day of his creation, right up until today, is a man that's full of sin, a man with a sinful nature, a man that makes sinful choices, a man that practices sin. The scripture tells us that he's rotten to the core, from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot. There's nothing good in man, none righteous, no, not one. And the promises God gave to Abraham and to ensuing Israel, the conditional promises were violated, and God allowed them to be taken into Egyptian bondage. Now, as we said, the promises that were unconditional, those that have not yet been fulfilled, will be, because many of them already have been, and we know that our God is able to keep every promise, every commitment, every covenant ever made. Then we come to one that we're a little more familiar with. This fifth dispensation, this fifth period of time, deals with man under law. Again, the grace of God came to the help of helpless man and redeemed that chosen people out of the hand of the oppressor. God raised up a deliverer, and Israel was delivered from Egyptian bondage. A fascinating, thrilling, exciting story. And in the wilderness of Sinai, God proposed to Moses and the people of Israel the covenant of the law. Instead of humbly pleading for a continual relationship of grace, you know what they said? When God offered them the law, instead of saying, Lord, deal with us in grace. Lord, deal with us in mercy. Lord, be kind to us. They said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. That's man by nature. Presumptuous, carnal, proud, arrogant, self-sufficient. All that the Lord hath said, we will do. And the history of Israel in the wilderness and in the land is just one long period of violating the law of God. God warned, he entreated, he sent judgments, and then he removed them from time to time. But man continued to assert himself in the face of Almighty God. And finally, God closed the testing of man by law with another judgment. First Israel and then Judah were driven out of the land into a dispersion, which to this day still continues for the most part. True, a feeble remnant did return unto Ezra and Nehemiah. But finally, God culminated his dealings with Israel up to this point by sending the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born of a woman made under the law, sent as God's Messiah, sent as God's deliverer, sent that he might fulfill all prophecy, all scripture, that he might come as a virgin-born son of the living God. Do you ever stop to think why he had to be virgin-born? Had he not been born this way, he would have been a sinner, just like you, just like me. But by being born of the Virgin Mary, by being conceived of the Holy Ghost, he sidestepped initial sin. He was the only one to be born without Adam's sin. The rest of us, from our parents and our grandparents and others, we were born sinners. And as I mentioned earlier, therefore we are sinners by nature. The child, as soon as he be born, the scripture says he speaks lies. He goes astray. You don't have to teach a child to lie. It comes about because of his nature. And then as we are older, we choose to sin. We practice sin. We revel in sin, enjoy sin. But thank God the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is sufficient to cleanse us from all sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was God, and because he was the virgin-born Son of the living God, conceived of the Holy Ghost, he sidestepped initial sin. He sidestepped a fallen nature. He sidestepped being totally depraved like the rest of us. And he came that he might be born of a woman, be born made under the law, and as such, upon the cross of Calvary, he might be made a curse for us. For it is written, accursed is everyone that hangeth upon the tree. And so, friend of mine, this dispensation, man under law, we call it the law of Moses, but it's actually the law of God given to Israel through Moses. And he gave them this dispensation. Not that they could keep the law and go to heaven. Perish the thought. But the law was given to show them and to show us what guilty, needy, helpless, hopeless, lost sinners we are. And bless God, Christ came. And there's the judgment, the concluding judgment of this dispensation of law, the judgment of God as it fell upon Christ. The wrath of God, punishing him for my sin and yours, fell upon him, that we might today in this next dispensation, the dispensation of the grace of God, be saved for time and eternity. Have you ever received him? Have you ever trusted him? Be born again today as you receive the Lamb of God, the Christ of glory. May the Lord bless you.